Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple years ago, in Menards, I ran into my dentist. Usually, when I see my dentist, I'm on my back in the chair, and he's standing there, so I never noticed. When I saw him at Menards, I noticed he's kind of short. My godmother, Aunt Elta, was kind of short. She used to ask me about the weather up there. I did not spit and say it's raining. And she would say, how'd you get to be so tall? 5'10" at the end of my sophomore year of high school, by graduation, 6'5". What did I do? Well, I ate bacon and eggs for breakfast every day or nothing. Peanut butter and bologna sandwich on Wonder Bread for lunch and a lot of chips, no fruit. Right after school, we'd head down to McDonald's on 11th Street, the old location. Double cheeseburger plain, maybe two for supper. Meat and potatoes, lots of whole milk, no vegetables except for corn for a snack. More chips, fast food. On hot summer days, we could sweat and we could actually drink 10 or 12 Pepsis. Or consume a pizza joint pizza and a half gallon of milk from Mr. Fresh for lunch. But that's not the way I got to be tall. The way I got to be tall, I worried a lot. That's how you get to be tall, right? The more you worry, the taller you get, right? That's crazy. Worrying does not make you taller. It doesn't make you taller, but worrying does make you live longer, right? Last week, I call last week, Make People Uncomfortable Sunday. If you missed it, Jesus told that story about that man who built a 500,000 bushel bins to storage large crops. His soul was called away that very day, and he didn't get to enjoy any of his riches. We heard last week from Saints Ambrose and Augustine that the man would have done better to put his spare crop into the mouths and stomachs of widows and orphans. And I mentioned that P.E.K. Kretzmann, popular commentary about 100 years ago, has the Lutheran view, but we ran out of time last week. But this week we got time for that. He says his goods were his God. In them, he trusted to bring him happiness and fulfillment of all his desires. This man made the mistake of considering the additional wealth an asset, whereas it was a liability. Every dollar that God blesses a person with beyond the actual needs of life for himself and his family is not an asset in God's sight, but a liability. That's an accounting term, isn't it? Liability. And what do you like to do with your liabilities? So after last week, did we go home and put our house on the market? Did we sell even one of our cars? Did I empty out my 403B and my IRAs? Well, if I did, you wouldn't know about it because I try not to let the left hand see what the right hand gives. If I told you that, and I told you that I gave it all to the poor, then I have my reward, praise from people. I'm shooting for a bigger, better reward. The one Jesus says you get in heaven. That's what I'm shooting for. As a general rule, none of us want to be takers. Most of us mostly want to be givers. And if you don't possess anything to give, then you can't. So we don't give it all away, do we? Especially if you have assets needed to, you know, feed your family and others. Hang on to that. On the other hand, we should all look to our possessions as being on loan from God. A liability. and use what you have been entrusted with to help others as you are able. We call that Christian charity. Christian charity. And the question for Christians who voluntarily give things away, the question is, how much do you give away and how much do you keep? What's that number? What's that number? That was last week. This week we look at what follows that story. Therefore tells us that because of what he's just said, therefore, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the crows. You've seen crows. Consider the crows. They don't have a 403B. The crows do not have IRAs, not even one car. Crows don't have houses. And the birds, they don't build any bins, large or small. Yet, Jesus said, God feeds them. God feeds them. And he tells us that because of what he said last week, therefore, birds, of how much more value are you than the birds? Rhetorical question, right? Rhetorical question. Argument from the lesser to the greater of how much more value are you than the birds? He is our Father. We are his children. And like children worrying whether or not your Father is going to feed us, it happens. It happens. And if parents won't feed their own children, then we'll do it, won't we? That's a bad father. That's a bad father. A man who lets other people feed the children he has brought into the world. The good father points to the dog and the cows and says to the child, hey, I feed my animals. Of course, I'm going to feed you. And when Jesus says, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his span, that's the literal translation, make yourself taller by worrying, he thinks that we think that he is a bad father. But he's not. Worrying means thinking that he's a bad father, but he's not. Worrying does not make you taller. And worrying does not give you a longer life. Actually, I think we now know that worrying shortens life and can hasten death. So after you're done observing the crows, look at those flowers and grasses out in the middle. They neither toil nor spin, but Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I don't buy clothing anymore. I have clothing, but I don't buy clothing. I got some White Hanes t-shirts over 10 years ago, and I wear them all the time, and they're still going strong. T-shirts never used to last that long. I have, I think, 5 or 6 black work shirts. They used to fade and be threadbare in just a few years. Still going strong. Tennis shoes. Things are more durable. Clothing is more durable. Lasts a longer time, and that's kind of a new thing. A lot of us can remember buying or making new clothes all the time because they wore out. It was like that in the time of Jesus. Clothing was considered a consumable. It wore out, and you needed new clothes often. So is food considered a consumable. You eat it, and then you need more. And God points out here that he feeds birds, and he clothes the pasture. Do you not think he's going to give you food and clothing? Oh, I see the problem here. I see the problem. Oh, you of little faith. It's one thing for God to be a good father, and he is. It's another thing for the children to believe that God is not a bad father, but that God is a good father. So do you have that number yet? What's the number? How much do you give away? How much do you keep? The Old Testament tithe was 10%. Like a flat tax, you have to pay that. Christian charity is different in this way. You don't have to. You don't have to. And you can give as much as you want. Worrying is a product of little faith, he says. And it's very common, little faith in the New Testament and in life. Great faith, there's a comparative, is not as common in the New Testament and in life. It does happen. It does happen. The writer to the Hebrews today talks to us about the children of God in the past who had faith. It means belief. It means trust. Those words are synonymous. Beginning the writer to the Hebrews with Abel. But first he gives us a brief description of the meaning. What is faith? Belief? Trust? Faith, he says, is the assurance of things hoped for in the future. For the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. If you believe a thing, you are pretty confident of the existence of that thing. That's what belief is, right? So when I say my sister died Wednesday, are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? My sister and I grew up together. Not quite Irish twins, but close. I suppose it's possible that she wasn't my sister. Possible? The writer of the Hebrews continues, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. I do believe that by means of his word God created all things. And it's actually the only theory of creation that makes sense, that is reasonable. I suppose it's possible that there was an explosion and this all happened. That's a very remote possibility, and it stings the reason to think that you'd have an explosion and get all this. By definition, faith, great faith, is a thing that lives with its Irish twin, little faith, or doubt. And those two things, great faith, little faith, everything in between, that's the world in which the Christian dwells. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Abel believed in God, and so he offered his best animal to that living God. Cain did not believe in God, and so his offering was succotash, and it had been simmering in the pit for a while. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. These all died, not having received what was promised in faith. Faith and doubt. Great faith, little faith. Faith. Abel was pretty sure that he was worshiping the true and living God. Noah was almost certain that God was going somewhere with this thing, build an ark. He was. Abraham left it all behind, and he didn't even have a destination punched up on the phone. Couldn't. He knew where he was, current location, but where he was going, didn't have a clue. Sarah? Me? Baby? Good one, God. Then came the visit of that second person of the Trinity, and then Abraham was pretty sure, almost certain, that it was going to happen, but still, Sarah was pretty sure it wasn't going to happen. But I suppose anything is possible with God, and God did it. He pulled it off. He granted a child to Abraham, and his wife Sarah called that child laughter. Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, We were born descendants, lots of them. And these, all Hebrews says, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from far away, meaning here on this planet. Having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this planet, heaven is our home, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city, a new Jerusalem, with a house, with many rooms. And we don't see these things, do we? But we believe these things nonetheless. And some doubt maybe sometimes creeps in, and if that's the case, welcome to the club, and it includes us and all those people of faith in the Hebrews. I've been a Christian all my life, and when I was a kid, I asked a lot of questions. When I got to high school, besides the growth spurt, I experienced a doubt spurt. Work through that. And I don't know if it comes through, but when I say things, especially from up here, I seem to pretty firmly believe those things, don't I? In classical education, rhetoric, it's not about content and delivery. Separate those two things. If you know what you're talking about, if you believe it, the delivery just kind of works itself out. Sidebar. Belief is what the writer to the Hebrews says it is. Doubt is antithetical to, the opposite of, faith, not to be confused with unbelief. Unbelief. Great faith, little faith, doubt, unbelief is another creature altogether. I read Alex Ryrie's book, Protestants. It was good, very good. Then I used an Audible credit to get Unbelievers, which is currently offering evidence that everybody has one good book in them. Unbelievers. Not Christians who have the normal doubts that Christians have from the earliest times had. They have rejected Christianity, like Cain. They have rejected Christianity, and I'm noticing in Ryrie's book that when people who are Christians reject it, they invariably have to mock us and make fun of us. They can't just move on. So I've always been close to my sister from the time we were children. We were a year apart in school. We worked together. We'd stop by their house over in Milan without calling, just pop in. And I suppose it's possible that she wasn't actually my sister. Maybe she was switched at birth. Maybe I was switched at birth, but not likely. I suppose it's possible that she faked her own death. And even as we speak, she's living in Paris, probably hanging out with Neil Caffrey. Sometimes being a Christian comes in handy, doesn't it? I've been hearing it for 37 years. Heard it several times this week. Pastor, how do people who aren't Christians handle this? And I always say, not very well. Not very well. Argument from the greater to the lesser. If God gives you heaven for eternity, can't he be trusted to clothe and feed you during your temporal life? So what do you do with a liability? Well, you get rid of as much of it as you can, right? Assets. You want to be, Jesus says, rich toward God. You want to store up riches in heaven and put it in the bellies of the hungry. So Jesus told the story of the man who trusted in self and his riches, not God. How do we know that? If he would have trusted God, he would have done what God tells us to do with his surplus riches, given at least some of it away. And it is in knowing that God will provide for us his children, as surely as he provides for the birds, believing that, it frees us up to give to other people. How much? What's the number? I think that depends on a lot of things, including faith, more or less. And while you wait your final journey, he feeds your soul on his word. And the very body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you, and we find ourselves clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.